Hello, and welcome to another SNL Energy podcast. My name is Jennifer Zajac. I'm senior editor here at SNL. And with us today is Susan Cook. She is a partner with McDermott, Will, and Emery. She is also chair of the environmental practice group at the firm. And she's going to talk to us today about all things hydraulic fracturing. Hello, Susan.
Hi there, Jennifer.
This is not a new technology, as you know, Susan. It's been around for 60 years or so. But why don't you start off by giving us an overview on why we're looking at it again, what technology has changed in terms of hydraulic fracturing, and why is Congress and EPA taking notice of it once again?
It is indeed a well-used process for trying to capture oil and gas from below ground and below many of our water aquifers. But what has changed now is the fact that they're using somewhat different techniques. Rather than going down into a well vertically, they're now doing drilling that will not just go down, but then go horizontally for up to a mile underground. In addition, it can require as much as 5 times more chemical-containing fluids than vertical drilling does. And so that creates a concerns both in terms of what the chemical additives are, but also in terms of what the volumes of water are that are needed to be diverted to this form of...
So now Congress has, whenever they are able to finally turn their attention to energy matters after they get through with the health care stuff, there's a House Bill 2766, there's Senate Bill 1215. Susan, can you talk a little bit about what's in those bills?
Sure. Those bills are very straightforward and they're quite simple. What they would do is to remove an exemption that was placed into the Safe Drinking Water Act by the Energy Appropriations Act of 2005. That exemption prevented EPA from regulating hydraulic fracturing except when it related to diesel fuel, and it continued to have authority to do so there based on an 11th Circuit decision of prior years where the state of Alabama was told by the court that it should indeed regulate hydraulic fracturing, and that program, that safe program, had been approved by EPA. Subsequent to that decision by the 11th Circuit, EPA entered into an agreement with the three companies who were primarily engaged in hydraulic fracturing at the time, and those three companies agreed voluntarily to cease using diesel fuel when they were doing extraction from coal bed methane, so that it wasn't a complete agreement covering all types of extraction, but only a particular type of extraction. Now that the industry is looking at the Marcellus shale beds that extend from Ohio through West Virginia and into Pennsylvania and New York, that would be a different type of medium, and so the agreement wouldn't cover that. In addition, smaller companies have gotten into the act and are involved with using hydraulic fracturing, and they are not covered by the agreement. So one purpose of the upcoming study that EPA is doing will be to look at this more holistically than has been the case in the past to see if they need to do more than just regulate the specific types of extraction localities that were covered by the agreement. And that agreement was with Schlumberger, BJ, and Halliburton.
What has been industry reaction to these bills overall?
Primary message has been that this is an accepted and long understood technology. They believe that the states can adequately regulate hydraulic fracturing, and they also believe that the studies will justify their position that it is safe. So they're supportive of the studies, but at the same time they're very concerned about EPA taking action at this time to regulate hydraulic fracturing. And then recent example of that, I guess, is an attempt, from my understanding, on the part of BP to put some wording into the latest version of the cap and trade bill that would preclude EPA from taking action and leaving it to the states to regulate hydraulic fracturing.
And let's talk about the states, Susan, particularly the ones that are in the Marcellus shale play, such as New York and Pennsylvania. From what I understand, Susan, they're reexamining their legislation regarding fracking.
That's correct. Starting with New York, New York actually began its review by doing an environmental impact statement, trying to determine what the issues were and whether its regulatory programs were sufficient. They recently did a supplement to that, and they're now reviewing the comments that they received. However, while that all went on, they imposed a moratorium on any drilling. My understanding, based on the comments that I've seen, is that that moratorium will be ending shortly, and that the state will begin a phased approach to granting drilling permits. There is a move on the part of the City of New York to preclude any type of drilling in the area that's there that protects their aquifer because of concerns about their drinking water supply, which is not treated in any way. Pennsylvania, on the other hand, is further along. They have already begun permitting wells. However, due to concerns about potential leakage from the drilling activities, they have proposed some regulatory changes that would require specific types of material to be used in the wells that are drilled, would impose more reporting obligations on the well operators. There are concerns that have been raised in Pennsylvania by a number of organizations as to the adequacy of their procedures. However, Pennsylvania is trying to take some action, including beefing up their regulatory staff substantially to oversee permitting and enforcement of their regulatory requirements.
So am I hearing you correctly, Susan, that the states such as New York and Pennsylvania that are examining fracking are more likely to impose stricter regulations on hydraulic fracturing than what might happen at the federal level?
That's correct, particularly since at the federal level there really aren't any regulations at the present time. I should note that one of the things that the bills would do would be to require the companies to identify the additives that they use. Now, those additives are quite diverse. They can be polymers, they can be biocides, there's some corrosion inhibitors, there's a number of different types of materials. But those mix of materials that they use are often considered proprietary information. And while there are material safety data sheets that they must supply, those do not necessarily identify the specific compounds that are in those sort of mixtures. In addition, while most industries are subject to what's called TRI reporting of chemicals under some other legislation, the oil and gas industry, in terms of producing new wells and exploiting those wells, are exempt from the EPCRA requirements.
But it sounds like that might change.
Yes, I think that there will be more disclosure in the coming years, and it may be that there will be some protections given, but probably not blanket protection as the industry would prefer, I'm sure, if they had a choice.
And what's your guesstimate, Susan, on when Congress might actually turn their attention to these bills and actually see, you know, these passed?
My guess is that the bills are going to languish, partly because of the attention given to healthcare legislation and to other important programs while EPA gears up to begin their study. And I don't think that while some of the proponents of the legislation want to get them passed even before that study is completed, others may be more willing to allow them to languish, shall we say, until such time as the study is at least underway, if not finished.
And Susan, at the state level, do you see more states reexamining their policies, and perhaps they're going to follow New York and Pennsylvania's lead?
I think those states that are, particularly in the Marcellus Shale area, that are facing drilling possibilities in the near term will do that, if for no other reason than the environmental community is quite energized by the current production possibilities. So I believe that the states will have to react, if nothing else.
All right. Susan Cook, partner with McDermott, Will & Emery, chair of the Environmental Practice Group, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure.
And this has been another SNL Energy Podcast. Thanks for listening.